And now it's time for the Earth First Update. All the environmental news you can use. Uncle Dennis here at Free Radio Santa Cruz on Thursday, December 10th, 2015. I'd like to have you get a pencil and paper handy because you might want to write down names, addresses, telephone numbers, web pages, and other information to allow you to act on the information that you're going to get tonight. And let's start off with announcements. The California Native Plant Society, Santa Cruz County Chapter Habitat Restoration Team, is having a restoration this Saturday, December 12th, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Baldwin Creek Wilder Ranch State Park. Linda writes, "We will finish the year at Baldwin Bluffs on the North Coast, continuing our work on removal of Cape Ivy. The meetup is at Wilder Ranch as usual, and we will carpool from there. I will post our next set of projects as we approach the new year. See you Saturday." The directions to Wilder Ranch are to take Highway 1 north from Santa Cruz and watch for the turnoff on the left-hand side for Wilder Ranch. There will be a sign indicating a left turn. Once at the kiosk, let the person there know you are volunteering for habitat restoration, and they will give you a parking pass. Meet us at the interpretive sign by the bathrooms in the parking lot, and please meet promptly at 10 a.m. The Habitat Restoration Team is a volunteer group working to restore native habitat in the parks and protected lands in Santa Cruz County. Their program provides an opportunity for people to learn about the natural systems that surround them while helping to restore special and wild places. No prior work experience is necessary, just show up at the park. They welcome individual volunteers from 8 to 80, but please wear comfortable layered clothing, bring something to drink, and lots of enthusiasm. They work rain or shine. The rain will probably come later, but if things get particularly unpleasant, they'll call it a day. Tools will be provided. Do bring your gloves and your water. For further information, contact the program leader, Linda. Her number, 831-462-4041. That's 831-462-4041. You could email her at redwoodrn, that's REDWDRN, at packbell.net, or visit their website at www.cruisecnps.org. And unfortunately, the warrior poet John Trudell has journeyed on. In a time where our leaders have no direction or plans for our children's future, a visionary man has left this earthly plane to guide us from above. On December 8, 2015, John Trudell passed into the next dimension. His words showed the way back to ways that work for all people and the planet. I had the great honor of calling this great man a friend. John's words were only one of his many gifts to this earth. His actions and activism were also an inspiration. Today's activists have no idea how easy we have had it, and it is because of great warriors like John. He paid for his actions with retaliation of family members being murdered, and this never stopped him. He gathered strength from this loss and never stopped leading by example. I am hopeful that in his passing we can learn from his words and actions that we need to unite to create positive change. Diversity should be our strength. We don't need to be clones of each other to work together. That is dictatorship, and it only divides us. Nowadays, too much of the focus of activism has been in criticizing other activists, dividing and conquering the handful of people who care enough to actually act. I know firsthand that it is scary to face our enemies, and there is a consequence when actions are taken, but that is how we create change. Now is the time to be a real activist and fight the real enemies of life on this planet, and not each other. John paid for his actions with the loss of his wife, three children, and his mother-in-law. Rather than silencing him, this only made him stronger. We need to lead our lives in this direction and quit helping the other side by dividing ourselves. Take time to learn from John Trudell's words, poems, and wisdom, and be the change you want to see. We are our only hope. One of his many gifts to the buffalo is in the video Buffalo Wild, which you can see at the webpage at www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. With few words, he tells the story and shows the ignorance of what continues to happen. Take time to listen to John's poems, songs, and videos he left behind for us. I vow to make my life work something John would be proud of, and I extend this challenge to each of you. The many gifts John Trudell left for us to learn from are alive. Please use them in your life. Thanks, John, for all you taught me and continue to teach me. I am still listening, learning, and will do so until I join you again. My prayers, heartfelt hugs, and love goes out to John's family, friends, and all the people who mourn his passing. It is our job now to make him live forever in our daily lives. Thanks, John Trudell, for all you have done for me, my friend. Signed, Mike Meese, Buffalo Field Campaign. And I would like to add my own condolences to that also. And now we are going to spend some time doing biological diversity news. I get biological diversity news every week, but sometimes we don't get to it. And unfortunately, this week we also have to say goodbye to Doug Tompkins. Doug Tompkins loved wilderness and wildlife as few others do. He devoted the past few decades of his life to exploring and preserving a vast swath of coast, forests, mountains, and grasslands in the Patagonia region of Chile and Argentina. It was in these mountains on glacial General Carrera Lake that he died this week in a kayak accident. He was 72 years old. Doug Tompkins made a fortune founding North Face and later Esprit Clothing. He spent that fortune on conservation first in the United States, where his Foundation for Deep Ecology was the Center for Biological Diversity's first funder, and later in South America. Tompkins and his life partner, Chris McDivitt Tompkins, purchased 2.1 million acres in Patagonia, creating 5 new national parks, 2 new provincial parks, and managing the 715,000-acre Pumalin Park, the largest private nature reserve in the world. In coming years, Pumalin will be donated as a national park as well, leveraging other lands to form several million-acre wilderness. Goodbye, Doug. We'll think often of you. Whenever I kayak Sonora's El Himalaya coast, wondering who will have the daring and commitment to preserve it forever for future generations of wildlife and people as a national park. Huge victory for the Arctic. 2 oil and gas lease sales were canceled. In an exciting victory for climate in the Arctic, the Obama administration announced it's canceling 2 oil and gas lease sales off of Alaska that were scheduled for 2016 and 17. The announcement came just weeks after Shell halted its offshore drilling operations in the area. Earlier this year, the administration announced 5-year plans to open up the Atlantic Ocean to drilling and offer more lease sales in Arctic waters off Alaska. An oil spill in the Arctic would be impossible to clean up and would push wildlife in the region, much of which is already in trouble from glacial warming, closer to extinction. Opposition to offshore Arctic drilling by the Center for Biological Diversity and other groups and activists around the country has been vocal and visible. Arctic drilling never made sense, said the center's Miyoko Sakashita. We're happy to see Shell walk away, and now we have these 2 lease sales canceled. It can't stop here, though. It's time to take the next step and pledge to keep oil in the ground and transition quickly to energy sources that are safer, smarter, and better for all of us. In June, the Center for Biological Diversity and Allies asked Washington State's Fish and Wildlife Commission to reverse its controversial decision to dramatically ramp up cougar hunting quotas. The commission denied our request, so we went straight to Governor Jay Inslee, who granted the request, ordering the commission to revert to quotas that are at least more scientifically justifiable. This is a victory for Washington's cougars, sound science, and open government, said the center's Colette Adkins. The Fish and Wildlife Commission decided to kill more cougars after ignoring the public and its own scientists. This knee-jerk decision needed to be reversed, and we're overjoyed the governor agreed with us. And wait no more, protection decisions on the way for 10 species. Important news in our work to save species threatened from extinction. This week, the Center for Biological Diversity and the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service reached an agreement setting legally binding deadlines for the agency to decide whether to protect 10 species under the Endangered Species Act. The species are scattered throughout the country, including the black-capped petrel, a seabird along the Atlantic coast threatened by oil drilling, 6 imperiled fish and a mussel in southeast being hurt by water pollution, a stonefly in Montana's Glacier National Park suffering because of shrinking glaciers, and a snail that's threatened by an open-pit gold mine in California. The Endangered Species Act only works if it's used to protect the wildlife that need it most. These 10 species have waited years for help, so this agreement will finally spur the agency to decide whether they'll get federal protections. Depending on the species, those decisions will be made in 2016 or up till 2020. California's Environmental Protection Agency has announced that it will classify glyphosate, a widely used herbicide dangerous to people and linked to dramatic decline of monarch butterflies, as a chemical known to cause cancer. Earliest this year, the World Health Organization found that glyphosate, commonly sold as Roundup, was a probable human carcinogen. California is taking an important step toward protecting people and wildlife from this toxic pesticide, said the Center for Biological Diversity's Nathan Donnelly. More than 250 million pounds of glyphosate are used each year in the United States, and the science is clear that it's a threat to public health and countless wildlife species. It's long past time to start reining in the out-of-control use of glyphosate in the United States. In June, as part of a settlement with the center, the U.S. EPA agreed to analyze the effects of glyphosate on 1,500 endangered species. And a landmark climate bill would end new federal fossil fuel leases. Big news out of Washington, D.C., a bill announced in Congress would end new federal fossil fuel leasing on public lands and oceans and cancel existing offshore federal oil and gas leases in the Arctic. If enacted, it would keep up to 450 billion tons of carbon pollution from entering the atmosphere. The landmark bill was announced by Senators Jeff Merkley, Bernie Sanders and Ben Cardin, and Barbara Boxer. It follows a report and petition by the Center for Biological Diversity and allies outlining the importance of banning new leasing for oil, coal, and gas on public lands and offshore areas as a key way for the United States to meet its obligations to stem global warming. More than 400 groups and leaders have joined our call to the Obama administration to end its federal leasing program. If we're going to solve the global climate crisis, we have to keep fossil fuels in the ground, and this brave legislation puts us on the right path, said the Center for Biological Diversity's Randy Spivak. Developing our last publicly owned fossil fuels would cripple our ability to avert worst-case climate impacts. A group of top independent biologists has rebuked Oregon's plan to remove State Endangered Species Act protection from its wolves, counted at only 83 individuals and missing from nearly 90% of suitable habitat in the state. Contrary to a fundamentally flawed Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife study, these scientists say wolves are far from recovered. Pulling protection now would show that politics, not science, guides Oregon wildlife management. The scientists' critical analyses of the state study join more than 22,000 comments submitted by the center and others in the Pacific Wolf Coalition to the Oregon Fish and Wildlife Commission, which will vote on whether to remove safeguards. According to some of the world's foremost experts on wolf and population biology, Oregon's move to strip gray wolves of protection simply doesn't reflect reality, said the Center for Biological Diversity's Amarok Weiss. And a UN study, world's climate pledges are too weak to ward off dire warming. Just ahead of the Paris climate talks, the United Nations analysis has found that pledges made by 145 countries to cut greenhouse gas emissions won't be enough to prevent dangerous global warming. According to the study, even if these countries actually fulfill their pledges, our planet will warm by almost 5 degrees Fahrenheit, about 2.7 degrees Celsius, by the year 2100, likely meaning profound damage to our resources and ecosystems, plus more drought, heat waves, and other extreme weather. The U.S. pledge, for one, is deeply inadequate. If President Obama has the power to greatly increase America's influence through deeds like ending new fossil fuel leasing on public lands and cutting airplane emissions. Climate summit negotiators hope for an agreement that will help keep the global temperature rise below 1.5 degrees Celsius. The UN analysis shows that that will require much stronger action from developed countries, and soon. Stop zoo imports of wild African elephants. Take action today. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has announced plans to import 18 African elephants torn from the wild in Swaziland to serve a life of captivity in American zoos. But the Southern African country only has 39 elephants total, so the proposal will cut the nation's elephant population by nearly half. This is preposterous, and we can't let it go one step further. At a time when African elephant populations are plummeting due to the ivory trade, stripping live elephants from the wild for display in the United States fails to reinforce the reality that conservation, not trade, is what elephants desperately need. Act now to urge the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to abandon its woeful import plan. It's time to raise a ruckus and encourage the agency to keep wild in wildlife. The Center for Biological Diversity and its allies have submitted petitions with the signatures of more than a million people to Congressman Raul Grijalva in support of the bill he introduced to save Oak Flat, sacred Apache land in Arizona's Tonto National Forest. This hallowed place, public land that harbors a diverse ecosystem and an array of species, was traded away last December in an underhanded deal by Senator John McCain to facilitate a massive copper mine. The mine, the largest copper mining project in North America, would devastate the beautiful site. The million signatures were presented to the House of Natural Resource Committee Forum on Protecting Sacred American Indian Sites, hosted by Ranking Member Grijalva. The fight to save Oak Flat will succeed, said the Center for Biological Diversity's Randy Spivak. People nationwide are outraged and won't let our public lands and American Indian sacred sites be destroyed for profits. Keep it in the ground. A win in Utah. Oil and gas auction has been halted. A planned protest turned into a celebration recently for Salt Lake City climate activists, including the Center for Biological Diversity, when the Bureau of Land Management made a last-minute decision to halt oil and gas lease sales owing to a high level of public interest. The Bureau's decision postponed the auction of 73,000 acres of publicly owned oil and gas in Utah, which harbored an estimated 1.6 to 6.6 million tons of potential greenhouse gas pollution. The planned protest had been led by elders calling on the agency to keep publicly owned fossil fuels in the ground to prevent catastrophic climate change and ensure a livable future. The BLM knows the public is watching and that they don't want our lands and our climate auctioned off to the highest bidder, said Valerie Love, a Center for Biological Diversity campaigner. We push the BLM to stop this lease sale, and we won't rest until all new fossil fuel lease sales on America's public lands are ended. And a deadly bat disease has hit Nebraska. White nose syndrome, the disease that's killing millions of bats since it was first discovered on the East Coast 8 years ago, is still spreading west quickly, and the fungus that causes it has just been confirmed present in Nebraska, where it was found on northern long-eared tricolored and big brown bats in the state last winter. This disease has been called the worst wildlife health crisis in recent memory, causing mortality rates up to 100% among bats in affected caves. Since it broke out in New York in the winter of 2006, it's affected bats of 7 different species in 26 states and 5 Canadian provinces. The spread of white nose syndrome has been an extinction tsunami that will eventually break into the West, said the Center for Biological Diversity's Molly Madison. Given wildlife agencies' failure to provide the strong protections that several eastern bats now need to survive, prospects for western bats are troubling. And a huge Greenland glacier is breaking up. A study just published in Science reveals that a major glacier in Greenland, which holds enough water to raise sea levels by more than a foot and a half, has begun to crumble into the North Atlantic. Beginning in 2012, the enormous Zachariah Istrom Glacier began receding 3 times faster than in previous decades at a rate of about 410 feet per year. That's over a foot per day. The glacier has now become detached from a stabilizing sill and is losing ice at the alarming rate of 4.5 billion metric tons per year. If it and its neighboring large glacier melt completely, they'll contribute more than 3 feet to global sea level rise. And spotted turtle is among 10 top victims of habitat fragmentation. No Room to Roam, a new report released by the Center for Biological Diversity and other groups in the Endangered Species Coalition, names the charismatic spotted turtle as one of top 10 U.S. species threatened by habitat fragmentation. This highly mobile turtle visits multiple wetlands throughout the year to forage, mate, thermoregulate, and overwinter, and these wetlands must be of top quality, offering specific conditions like clear, clean water. When the wetlands are degraded, destroyed, and divided by development and roads, the turtle can't move around and can easily be run over. The species is already on the brink of extinction with a 50% reduction in its historic population size. After a Center for Biological Diversity petition, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service announced this summer that it may protect the spotted turtle under the Endangered Species Act. In 2013, we earned it safeguards against international trade. Other imperiled species named in the report include the California tiger salamander, the Karner blue butterfly, the lesser prairie chicken, the Yellowstone grizzly bear, and the Mexican gray wolf. And a landmark court battle knocks down massive sprawl development. The state Supreme Court in California has struck a severe blow to the proposed Newhall Ranch megadevelopment project near Los Angeles in a case filed by the Center for Biological Diversity and Allies. We've been fighting this project for many years. It would create a new town of more than 60,000 residents on a 12,000-acre site that includes a six-mile stretch of the Santa Clara River, Southern California's last major free-flowing waterway, home to rare species like the unarmored three-spined stickleback and southern steelhead trout. It would also create new greenhouse gas emissions roughly equivalent to 260,000 metric tons of carbon dioxide each year. In 2011, the Center for Biological Diversity and our partners sued over the project's climate and wildlife impacts, and the case eventually went to the state's highest court. This is a tremendous victory for the climate and California's protected wildlife, said the center's John Bues. This decision means public officials have to show their work in determining whether massive new development projects will interfere with the state's climate goals. The court also gave one of California's rarest fish and all other protected wildlife a reprieve from eviction in the face of ever-encroaching sprawl. And help save the world's only red wolf population, take action. There's only one population of red wolves left on the planet, and we need your help to save them. Red wolves were reintroduced onto 1.7 million acres of federal, private, and state lands in northeast North Carolina in 1987 after predator control programs decimated their wild populations. The recovery program has been a success so far, but now the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service wants to abandon it based on misinformation from a few select opponents. There are only 50 to 75 red wolves in existence, and shooting by hunters is still a leading cause of their deaths. The center has co-sponsored a campaign and website to correct misinformation about red wolves and educate the public about the economic and ecological benefits they bring to locals within the recovery area. We're urging those who live and work within the five counties where red wolves live to sign a petition supporting having them on their lands. Supporters in other parts of the country should also write to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service speaking up for the wolves. These special wolves deserve a chance to thrive and survive in the wilds of North Carolina. Learn the truth about red wolves and take action at our new website, www.biologicaldiversity.org. And one-third of the world's cactus species are threatened with extinction. A report from the International Union for Conservation of Nature reveals cacti are among the world's most threatened organisms. Out of 1,478 species evaluated in the study published in Nature Plants, 31% were found to be endangered under pressure from agriculture, urban development, and harvest for trade and private collectors. The research identified hotspots of endangered cacti in southern Brazil and Uruguay, north to Mexico. Salvador Arias, cactus curator at the National Autonomous University of Mexico's Botanical Garden, said the situation is alarming. Cacti are important elements of arid ecosystems and often crucial sources of food and water for desert wildlife and of nourishment and building materials for desert-dwelling people. And an ivory haul of around 200 kilograms, around 500 pounds, may be Gabon's biggest ever in this story written by Emma Farge, editing by Kevin Lifey, World Environment News, Thomson Reuters. The Central African state of Gabon, home to half of Africa's endangered forest elephants, has impounded more than 200 kilograms of ivory in what may be its largest seizure ever. Gabon is seeking to promote ecotourism and has poured money into protecting its 50,000 forest elephants, coveted by ivory poachers for their particularly hard, straight tusks. Numbers have been falling dramatically in nearby Democratic Republic of Congo and Central African Republic. We can confirm the seizure of around 200 kilograms of ivory, which represents about 20 elephants, said government spokesperson Alain Claude Bile-Bainise. A conservation group, Eagle, said two Gabonese men originally from Nigeria and Cameroon have been arrested. Professor Lee White from Gabon's National Agency for National Parks said one of the suspects worked for Gabon's Water and Forest Department. Bile-Bainise said the seizure did not necessarily show that poaching was getting worse in Gabon, since the elephants might have been killed a long time ago. Elephants in the northern Mkabi National Park have been particularly vulnerable in recent years because it adjoins Cameroon, where anti-poaching measures are more lax. And we will finish up with the Buffalo Field Campaign's update from the field. Six more buffalo have been killed by state and treaty hunters since our last update. All were killed near Gardner on Yellowstone's northern edge. Most were taken just over the park border at Beatty Gulch, a tight bottleneck migration corridor that we have come to refer to as the Killing Fields or Bloody Gulch. The death toll is now at 61 bison. With every buffalo that steps into Montana getting shot, there are currently none around. This is exactly how Montana livestock interests want it. West of Yellowstone in the Hebgen Basin, the land is also absent of her beloved buffalo. Yellowstone National Park claims that the current bison population is hovering at a mere 4,900 individuals. They are aiming to drive this vulnerable population down by about 1,000 animals this year and plan to continue the destruction until America's last wild buffalo are reduced to 3,000 or fewer. Yellowstone conducts a bison population estimate each year and has always issued a press release revealing the results. This year, they forgot to release information to the public, claiming they were too busy dealing with the media surrounding their killing of a grizzly bear known as Blaze. They also said that the public was not informed of the bison population estimate due to turnover in their public information department. While communicating with the public may not be important to the Park Service, slaughtering bison surely is. Buffalo Field Campaign has submitted a Freedom of Information Act request seeking documentation on the park's bison population estimate and bison distribution. These population estimates are often used to justify sending large numbers of buffalo to slaughter or encouraging hunters to kill hundreds of them. Yellowstone and other interagency bison management plan signatories have been recently called to task for slaughtering the world's most important bison population. We have always known that the Yellowstone's herds are critical to the survival of the species, and the scientific evidence has yet again shown that this is true. The Yellowstone buffalo harbor 75% of the genetics of the entire species, and their ancestry can be traced back to pre-colonial days. We knew this, but again, science has proved it, suggesting that the slaughter of these buffalo is not smart. This new scientific information could not come at a better time, just ahead of Yellowstone's planned slaughter. This information could also help with our efforts to list Yellowstone bison under the Endangered Species Act. The Buffalo Field Campaign can be reached at P.O. Box 957, West Yellowstone, Montana, 59758. Their phone number, 406-646-0070. And all this information and more is available at their website, www.buffalofieldcampaign.org. The Buffalo Field Campaign is the only group working in the field every day in defense of the last wild buffalo in the United States. And that's all the time we have for news this week on the Earth First Update. The Earth First Update is presented every Thursday evening at 9 o'clock right here on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM and www.freakradio.org. You can listen to a rebroadcast tomorrow afternoon at 3 p.m. If you're in the Moscow, Idaho area, listen to 90.3 KRFP Radio Free Moscow at 1:15 p.m. on Wednesdays, right after Democracy Now! Or you could go to radioforall.net, that's radio the number forall.net, where you can listen online or download this or previous versions of the Earth First Update. The Earth First Update is a production of Earth First Radio and is produced by Free Radio Santa Cruz. We thank you for listening and do tune in next week for another edition of the Earth First Update.